Welcome to the Sunday evening evangelistic message with the President of Gospel Light Society and Torch Ministries International, Daniel White III. Today, Daniel White III is going to share with us a message titled, Why I Thank God for Jesus Christ, The Remix, Part 2. But first, let's praise the Lord with Walter Hawkins as he sings, Thank You, Lord.
Tragedies a commonplace. All kinds of diseases people are slipping away. The economy's down. People can't get enough pay. But as for me, I said, as for me, they're living out in the streets, and the drug habits. I'm not just talking about folks out in the street, but right in the church, drug habits that some folks hiding just can't beat. There are muggers and robbers. No place seems to be safe, Lord, but you've been my protection. Hey. You've been my protection every step of the way. Yes, you have, Lord. Yes, you have, Lord. Yes, you have, Lord. And I want to say, and I want to say, and I want to say, thank you.
Thank you. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the church said,
Amen.
Holy Father God, indeed, on this beautiful Sunday morning that you have blessed us to see, Lord, we thank you for your unspeakable gift. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We are unworthy to even call upon your name. Lord, we individually in this place confess our own sins, our faults, our failures, our disobedience, all unrighteousness, all uncleanness of thought, word, and deed, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit. Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins and wash our sins away in the blood of Christ. Fill us, Lord, afresh and anew this morning with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Lead us, Lord, away from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us, Lord, your grace, your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do that which is pleasing in your sight. And Lord, help us to all be men and women who give you thanks every day and throughout the day. Lord, we pray now that you would rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his host from this message. Have it to get through. Lord, help your people to become more thankful and save those who are lost so that they can be thankful. Glorify your holy name and demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I want to share the second part and the final part of my message that I preached so many years ago. I think it's close to 30 years ago, down in Apalachicola, Florida, when I was a young Christian and a young preacher. Why I thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Why I thank God for Jesus Christ. Now, last week, as we came out of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and what a glorious time we had. I trust that you had a wonderful time as well. I always do. I believe besides Easter, as far as holidays go, Thanksgiving is my favorite. So on last weekend, we began looking at the number one reason why we ought to be thankful to God. And that is because of God's holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
The unspeakable gift. We specifically saw three reasons why we ought to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, and why you ought to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ as well. First of all, we ought to be thankful for Jesus Christ because he gave his life that we might have eternal life. He gave his life that we might have eternal life. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Secondly, we ought to be thankful for Jesus Christ because he keeps us by his grace in every way. Third, we ought to be thankful for Jesus Christ because he is able to keep us from falling into destructive sin. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on this, the first Sunday of this particular month, as we begin to count down to the glorious holiday of Christmas, the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world, I would like to return to this topic of why I thank God for Jesus Christ. I believe this is a fitting way to begin this Christmas season, if you will, in earnest. Because, as I mentioned last week, the devil tries to get our focus off the main thing. And the main thing is the Lord Jesus Christ, or rather the main person is the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I want to share with you four quick reasons why I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, beloved, I thank God for Jesus Christ because in his mercy, love, and grace, he is still working on me. How about you? Because of his love, his mercy, and his grace, God, through Jesus Christ, is still working on me. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, many people think that once they get saved, their lives are supposed to change instantly and completely to the point that they expect to be a spiritually mature Christian shortly after they get saved. But just as we have to grow and learn physically and mentally, ladies and gentlemen, we also must grow and learn spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That word changed means transformed or transfigured. In fact, it is the same Greek word from which we get the word metamorphosis. A metamorphosis is when an animal, a creature, changes from one form to another. For example, when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is working on us, dealing with us, taking out the old stuff and putting in the new. He's working on us to transform us into His image. The Bible says over in 1 Peter how that we are newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. We have to grow on the Word of God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
R. Kent Hughes, author of the best-selling book Disciplines of a Godly Man, said that in this passage, metamorphosis is in the present tense, which indicates that this transformation is an ongoing process, and it is, which will not be complete until we see the Lord Jesus Christ. In addition, the passive voice indicates that the power that produces this transformation is external. We cannot transform ourselves any more than we could save ourselves. It's external. It's not we ourselves, to use Bible terminology. Just as we began this race by faith, we must continue to run this race by faith. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Trusting in the Spirit's power to transform us, to change us, and to help us to be what God wants us to be. God is the one who changes us from the inside out by the power of His Holy Spirit. My life's verse is, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. There was a popular song years ago titled "He's Still Working on Me." Back in the day when it came out, it was on every radio station. Even some secular radio stations played this song. It goes something like this: "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me." There really ought to be a sign upon the heart: "Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hands. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see make me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay." Ladies and gentlemen, I thank God today that Jesus Christ is still working on me. How about you? Working on me by the power of his Holy Spirit and through the power of his Holy Word and by his grace and mercy and love. And you ought to thank God also that he is still working on you as well. He is not finished with you yet. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Keep on growing. And then second today, I thank God for Jesus Christ because he is constantly interceding for me. Hebrews 7:25 states, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." This verse tells us clearly that Jesus Christ is interceding for those whom he has saved. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
It is a wonderful feeling to know that anyone is praying for you, defending you, standing with you. But it's a special blessing to know that Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. How many of you have the experience? You didn't want to cause any trouble, but you got into some trouble with the law. And God bless you to get a lawyer to stand with you. And not just any lawyer, but a lawyer who was in the know. A lawyer who also knew the judge. And not only that, but they play golf together. That's the kind of lawyer you want to get. Make no mistake about it. Judges and lawyers are human beings. And yes, they play golf. They drink coffee together. They might even go get them a little toddy for the body after the court closes down at the happy hour. And they shoot the breeze and they laugh and joke together. They know one another. That's the kind of lawyer you want to get who knows the judge. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died for us once and for all. And what a glorious reality that is. But his interceding for us is part of his continual work. He is always praying for us. He's always interceding for us. To intercede for someone means more than just to pray for them or to plead for them. To intercede also means to defend or vindicate someone. To prove that everything has been covered. In this case, all of the client's sins have been covered by the blood of none other than the lawyer himself, Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Thus, Jesus Christ is acting as our attorney in the heavenly courtroom, and he knows the judge real good. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Even though we strive to do what is right as God's children, there are some times when we sin and do things that are not right. You know it's true, and I know it's true. In fact, one of the things that the church needs to do today is stop all of this faking and being a phony and a hypocrite and acting like you have never sinned and act like you have never done anything wrong, act like you're not even tempted to do that which is evil, and you know you are, and God knows you are. The Bible tells us that we need to confess our faults one to another. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I believe God is sick and tired of Christians acting like they're all that and they're nothing without him. Be that as it may, because Jesus Christ is in heaven interceding for us, we can confess our sins and get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will defend us against the accusations of the devil and make us righteous, and has already made us righteous in the sight of the judge of the universe, God himself. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I thank God, ladies and gentlemen, for Jesus Christ, because he is praying for me. He is my advocate. He's my attorney. He is interceding for me. He's vindicating me. He is defending me against the accusations of the devil. Glory be to God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And then third, today I thank God for Jesus Christ, because he will never leave me nor forsake me. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In this life, friends will forsake you. Family will forsake you. employers will forsake you. But thank God, Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. Somebody ought to shout amen right there.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Family will leave you. When the money dries up and you need some help, they won't come by and help you. Some folks in the church don't want to be bothered with you anymore. But Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. You can bank on that. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't feel too bad if people forsake you. I believe that God allows people to forsake us from time to time in our lives so that we can truly realize that our only friend, our best friend, is Jesus Christ himself. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
It is good to know that we do not have to walk through life alone. In life, we will face difficulties, disappointments, and setbacks. But Jesus Christ will be right there with us all the way through to the end. You will not always have money or material things. You will not always have success. You will not always have friends. And by the way, those friends you have on Facebook, they're not your friends. You will not always have the big fine car and the big fine house on Porkchop Hill. You may have to go down to the homeless shelter for a few days. But thanks be to God, you will always have the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to shout amen.
Amen.
Because you know it's true. And when you have Jesus, and sometimes, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, God will take away all of that stuff to help you see him clearer and better. And when you have Jesus, you have everything in the world. An old hymn goes like this: Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I thank God for Jesus Christ because he's my friend and he's your friend as well. And he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. I don't care what you're going through. The Lord is right there with you if you have trusted him as your Savior. Fourth and finally today, brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are yet to be brothers and sisters in Christ, I thank God for Jesus Christ because he has promised to come back and take me home to glory. Not only me, but you too, if you are saved. John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Somebody ought to say amen to the word of God.
Amen.
I know you have probably heard all of the news regarding the Mayan calendar, which supposedly says the world is going to end on December the 21st. If it does, are you ready? Of course, we know that that is just a whole lot of speculation, because the Bible tells us that no one knows. The Bible tells us that one day also this world will come to an end. However, it won't end until Jesus Christ returns to rapture us out of this sin-cursed place, and we will go to heaven to be with him. That ought to make you shout amen right there.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, once we are in heaven, we will forget about every pain, every problem, every struggle, and every difficulty that we had on earth. We will be thanking and praising God for all of His blessings for all eternity. And it will be because of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. We are saved because of Him. We are justified or made righteous because of Him. We are kept from falling because of Him and by His grace. And we have a home in heaven because of Him, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Jesus paid it all. That's why I thank God for Jesus Christ, beloved. And if you are a child of God, you ought to be thanking and praising Him as well. Now, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're not sure that you have a place in heaven, and if you do not have the peace in your heart that if you were to die today, you would be with the Lord, look at Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Salvation is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Dear friend, all you have to do is pray and ask Jesus Christ to save you today, and He will do it. And you can begin thanking God for Jesus Christ as well. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The phrase, for God so loved the world, means that if you are in this world, God loves you, no matter what you have done, or where you have been, or who you have done it with. The next phrase in this passage is that He gave His only begotten Son. And that phrase refers to Jesus Christ. He is God's Son who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And He was buried and rose again. Ladies and gentlemen, our next phrase is that whosoever believeth in Him, John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell, someone called it. It goes on to say the word whosoever. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. The phrase believeth in Him means to trust in Him, to depend upon Him, to rely on Him, or to have faith in Him for your salvation. Our next phrase, should not perish. Should not perish refers to eternal punishment in a place called hell. And lastly, the phrase, but have everlasting life, means to live eternally in heaven with God. Dear friend, the Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, right now, you can pray with me this very simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Do you believe in your heart right now that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again? Pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner, and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today and forever. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you prayed that prayer, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this Sunday evening evangelistic message. If you would like to read our pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door, or if you have a prayer request, visit us online at GospelLightSociety.com. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now here's Matt Redman singing 10,000 Reasons. God bless.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy. Time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
Worship your holy name.